Wow, that went quiet fast. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. We'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance. If I could ask Ms. Heidi Harris to lead us in the pledge.
Please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming on a Thursday morning in Santa Rosa, bright and early. I would like to start by introducing our board. To my far right is Irene Tynes from Crescent City. Next is Heidi Harris from Salyers, Mr. Bill Massey from Forestville, Mr. Jeff Hale from Eureka, Mr. John Corbett from McKinleyville, and I'm David Norn, Chair. Mr. Matt St. John, can you please introduce staff?
Good morning, Chairman Norrin, members of the board. Matt St. John, administrative staff in front of me have Patty Corsi and Donna Poe managing the sound, and Greg Nash helping us with all things IT. To my right is our acting assistant executive officer, David Leland, and staff counsel, Samantha Olson and David Rice.
Thank you. We have just a little bit of housekeeping things to do to begin today. The beginning is the election of officers, which we take on the first meeting of the year. And my understanding is...
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Hip.
Due to a outstanding performance in this past year, I would like to give a nomination for yourself.
Second.
To remain as chair.
Right. Double second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chair, since that exemplary conduct has been assisted by the vice chair, Mr. Hales, I would nominate Mr. Hales to continue in that role.
Second.
Oh. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so you have Batman and Robin for one more year here. Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. This is a time for board member ex parte communications to disclose and identify any discussions that have had outside the regular meeting schedule. Mr. Massey.
Mr. Chair, Mr. St. John and myself appeared on the panel at the biological opinion for the Russian River done by NOAA and the Sonoma County Water Agency, and in the process of dealing with the Russian River, I have had conversations regarding sewers in the West County with members of the Assembly and staff of the U.S. House.
Fantastic.
Mr. Chair, I've got a couple. The last few weeks have met with a few NTMP landowners to talk about today's workshop, going over some specific details. And I've also, Mr. St. John and I met with members of California Fish and Game and had a good conversation about water quality impacts from large marijuana grows.
Fantastic.
Large marijuana grows.
Oh.
And small ones.
And I wanted to, I actually attended with staff the independent science review panel meeting on Russian River. It was very, very interesting. A lot going on Russian River. Okay, moving on. I'm sorry.
I had exchanged an email with. I exchanged emails with just some questions about today's workshop with a planner from Siskiyou County.
Fantastic. Okay, moving on. State Board Liaison, Mr. Steve Moore's here today to tell us what's happening up at Sacramento.
All right. Well, good morning. Congratulations on your re-election or reappointment.
Thank you,
Chair Norrin. Also, I wanted to extend my congratulations for reappointment for Heidi Harris and Vice Chair Hales. Oh, sure. I'm Stephen Moore, member of the State Water Resources Control Board. So it's great to be here again in the rainiest of regions. Nice misty day in January to visit you, and Happy New Year to everyone. In my report today, I'd like to touch on budget, recent activities, upcoming activities, and legislation of interest. Not much news on budget with respect to our agency. We'll hear more as the year progresses. You've read the papers about more favorable budget situation in Sacramento, but we're going to continue with our lean and mean operation for the foreseeable future, which is fine. You know, as we've discussed, we're more of a fee-supported agency now than general-funded agency. So our finances are more tied to that type of mechanism. And I'd like to point out that in recent work, just highlight a few things that might be of interest to the region. Yesterday, we had a workshop on the development of biological objectives. And it gets a little confusing because, you know, we talk about toxicity policy or biological objectives policy. These are different ways to assess water quality with respect to attainment of beneficial uses that to support aquatic life in rivers, lakes, and bays and estuaries in the ocean. And so one, you might think of the biological objectives as the most direct measurement of the effects on aquatic life because you're actually measuring the biological community that's in the waters as opposed to a toxicity measurement where you expose an indicator organism to an effluent or to the ambient waters. And it's a surrogate for what would be in the water body itself. And then finally, the third level, the most indirect indicator would be something like a chemical measurement or a physical measurement, the level of sediment, as a surrogate for assessing whether aquatic life beneficial uses are supported. So getting back to the policy, the focus of the workshop was really to vet the science and really the state of the science in California behind the development of biological objectives, what we're measuring in the streams, particularly the wadable perennial streams. Not all streams in this region blessed with water resources are wadable. So, the bigger rivers in this region, this particular method would not apply. But the rest of California isn't so blessed. And so wadable streams tend to be the norm, not the exception. And it was a good workshop because in some of the details, there are kind of the two schools of thought. There's more of a numeric modeling group that comes out of some of the Forest Service disciplines. And then there's more of a what they call a multi-metric approach where you measure different bugs or macroinvertebrates that have different characteristics. They may be mayflies, stoneflies, caddisflies for your fly fishers out there. They are very good indicators of water quality. So these two schools of thought have kind of melded into what's known as the California Stream Condition Index. And it was a very, let's say, there wasn't as much controversy on the science side during this workshop yesterday, but more that we feel, or the group feels that we're moving toward a system that can take into account the great deal of modification of our waterways in order for us to set attainable standards for biological criteria. So it's real important, I think, to the board members too, is that we want to set high standards, but those that are attainable. You know, you're not going to get the mountain stream type diversity down in the valleys and that sort of thing. So that's the kind of details we're working through on that. So, and in the end, it becomes a very helpful tool in helping us all to set priorities. You know, when we really have good information on the waterways as far as the biological communities that live there. So I just wanted to get into that a little bit since it's fresh in my mind from yesterday's workshop. Another issue that is of interest here in the North Coast, there was, back in, a few years ago, Assembly Bill 2121 required State Water Resources Board to adopt an in-stream flow policy for North Coast rivers and streams. And in that process went its way all the way to filing a notice of decision to Secretary of Resources back in 2010. However, there were lawsuits, and on August 9th, last year, the Alameda Superior Court issued a writ of mandate directing the State Water Board to set aside a resolution based on two specific inadequacies related to CEQA. And so at this point, I wanted you just to know that our Division of Water Rights staff are working on remedying those inadequacies in the CEQA documentation this year and are planning to recirculate the document, the supplemental environmental document, as necessary. So they're working through that process to bring back and bring into effect the in-stream flow policy that we were directed to adopt by the legislature. And, you know, one of the issues, a lot of interest in this region is on our recycled water policy. You know, this past year we had assembled a scientific review panel to advise the State Water Board on the topic of constituents of emerging concern, or the chemicals that may be endocrine disrupting, or maybe in consumer products such as pharmaceuticals or personal care products that end up in wastewater or stormwater. In the case of recycled water, we're talking about recycling wastewater. And so the recommendations of the science advisory panel were generally well received, and because of the methodical framework that they set up to really look at issues like, does this chemical have a scientific laboratory method that's roundly accepted? Can we measure it using available commercial labs? And do we have data on its toxicity or its effects level with respect to whatever the effects is? In the case of something like 1,4-estradiol, which is in the birth control pills, you know, the concern there is estrogenic effects in wildlife. And so what are those endpoints of concern that would cause those effects? So the science panel went through, set up a framework, and recommended a certain list of constituents of emerging concern that should be looked at in recycled water. But they also looked at what's the probability of exposure in different settings, such as landscape irrigation or in groundwater basins for recharge for drinking water. And so this was a very carefully and transparently carried out process. And then in the end, there was some specific recommendations that the State Water Board adopted this past Tuesday in recognizing the need to be vigilant but also practical moving forward and trying to meet our recycled water goals statewide. In the Southern California, I think it's just by virtue of, you know, the necessity being the mother of invention, there's a lot more experience implementing recycled water in the southern part of the state, you know, decades. And the concerns about public health and constituents of emerging concern aren't as acute down there because of the experience using recycled water. And so, I really give deference to the concerns that have been expressed in this region, but I would encourage folks to look to the southern part of the state in terms of the experience that they have and the data they've collected. So we're pleased to move forward with that because of our ambitious goal statewide to reuse wastewater beneficially. Another issue I know here in this region, the on-site waste systems policy we adopted last year. The follow-on to that is to update general order, and that's the septics policy for everybody in the room. The follow-on to implement the statewide policy for on-site waste treatment systems is the update General Order 97-10. You know, we're talking about an order that's, how many years ago is that? 15-plus years. These are the general WDRs for discharges to land from small domestic wastewater treatment systems. So the draft order and initial study were discussed among the executive officers, the MCC meeting back in August. And so we've received comments from the program managers throughout the regional board system. and we've incorporated key comments from the different regions, and public notice of this draft order is scheduled early in this year, so the next couple of months. We want you to be aware of that and provide input. And see, I think I'll wrap up with the wetlands policy. There's been activity, interest, concern from affected stakeholders about the scope of the wetlands policy. But we're moving forward this year and following through with resolutions we've passed at the State Water Board level going back to year 2008. And the latest info on that I received this morning, I just want to consult, but we expect to release a draft policy in May. And this next month, we're wrapping up meetings with business, joint venture, and environmental stakeholders on the wetlands policy. Really, you know, the state board's intent here is to make the wetlands permitting process transparent, easy to understand, dovetail with federal policies, you know, federal processes with the Army Corps of Engineers, as well as our fellow state agency, the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm getting used to that. And really making the process work more smoothly, but protect those water resources that are not covered under federal authorities. Of particular interest to me is in areas that are under rapid, or let's say explosive, development of a new urban frontier, the need to protect headwater streams in those developments because of their cumulative impact on water quality and the functions they provide to protect water quality. But there are other issues that are outside of federal jurisdiction that the state has an interest in protecting. And so the schedule on the wetlands policy, after we meet, and we talk about joint venture, those like San Francisco Bay and Central Valley, I know from experience, there may be examples up here of private and public interests working together to obtain and manage wetland resources and do restoration. And I know through my experience in the private sector that the wetland permitting process for restoration can be as onerous sometimes as the permitting process for development projects. And here, you know, in terms of our general interest, our collective interest in protecting and enhancing water resources, it's important to make sure that restoration projects aren't given an undue burden through a permitting process. As we say, I think I use this phrase at least once a week, no good deed goes unpunished. You know, we don't want our regulatory system to punish the good actors. So we're looking at that real carefully. So getting back to the schedule, in March and April, we're going to finalize the documentation, the environmental CEQA documentation, as well as the proposed policy, which a draft had gone out last year. We're refining that draft. In May, we intend to go out to a 60-day public comment period. And then through the year, hopefully, by November, we'll have an adoption hearing in Sacramento for the State Water Board. So those are some of the detailed policies that I know there's interest here in this region. We're working on a lot of other things, too. I'll just say there's not a lot of – the legislative process right now is just getting underway. There's a two-year kind of cycle, and new bills are just being introduced. Just found out the other day that a bill to ban plastic bags in grocery stores statewide has been resuscitated. It had been introduced and not carried through. And assembly member from the newly elected assembly member, Levine, Mark Levine, introduced that bill. And with that, I'm sure that you may have some questions, or if not, you have a full agenda, so I don't want to take up any more time, but happy to answer any questions as I can.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for tailoring those five things to our regional-specific issues, and I appreciate the report. Any questions for Steve Moore? Great, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A couple things. Just so everybody knows, we're going to take item 6 before item 5 this morning. If you plan to speak on either of these issues, please file a speaker card with our administrative staff. There's seats. It looks like more seats are getting out here, so please make yourself comfortable. We could take a minute and make that happen. At the same time, next is public forum, where we take items that are not on our typical agenda. I have one speaker card at this time from Brenda Edelman.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. St. John.
I had, as part of my executive officer's report, wanted to make two staff introductions at this time, and then I'll do additional EO report later in the agenda, if I could.
Sounds great. I apologize for
the
skip.
That's okay. Wanted to take the opportunity to introduce our newest staff member, who, and I'm looking around because I don't think is able to be. Oh, Mr. Jeremiah. So it's a pleasure to announce that Jeremiah Puget is the newest staff member of the North Coast region. Many of you may know Jeremiah, and Jeremiah has worked for us for a number of years, but under contract as our Caltrans liaison. And he is now working full-time for Alita Mangelsdorf in the Basin Planning Unit. So we're really, really pleased to have Jeremiah working as a staff member.
Thanks, Pat.
Replacing Jeremiah as our Caltrans liaison is Brendan Thompson. And Brendan has been the Caltrans liaison for the San Francisco Bay Regional Board, and is now splitting his time between working for our region and Region 2, but will be transitioning over to be only working for us. So we're really pleased to have Brendan, who has worked with Caltrans for many years and will make that transition very smooth. So welcome both Brendan and Jeremiah.
With that, we'll move on to public forum. Ms. Brenda Edelman.